On Saturday, March 1st, 2008, at 5 p.m., I experienced a death that has completely changed my life. On that day, I was 17 years old. I was a student at Cairo University. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a student at Cairo University in Egypt. I was playing soccer semi-pro, and I was going forward to play soccer professional. I had a fiance, she was Muslim. So almost all my friends, so was my family, so was I. That's my school I used to go to in Egypt. I always had passion in business, and I always wanted to study business and have my own business one day. I always believed that everybody liked to travel, but because it's expensive, nobody really travels a lot. And one day I want to have my own tourism agency. And I was studying business over there. And that's my semi-pro team I used to play with. I used to play soccer since I was 7 years old. Before that, I used to play at home and destroy everything. Until my dad told me one day, I'm going to take you to a club and see if you really can play or not. That's my fiance. We started dating when I was 16. And I asked her when I was 18. And then before coming to the U.S., we broke up. So March 1st, 2008, late that afternoon, I had a soccer practice, and I was just heading back home from the soccer practice to home. I was going back home with my friend Kareem, and he is my best friend. I knew him all my life. He was living in a house right beside me. He went to the same school with me. He was in the same university with me. He was studying business with me. He was playing soccer in the same team with me. I knew him all my life. He was my absolute best friend. All life, he was just all there for me. And this is a picture of me and him when we were 7 years old. He was always right by me. He was always right beside me, and I always knew him. And he was my best friend. That's when we were 7 years old. So we were heading back home, and I don't know if you guys have seen the traffic in Cairo or not, but I always believe that if you can drive in Cairo, you can drive anywhere. So we were heading back, you know, from the soccer practice to back home. And we had to cross the road. And we were trying to. And it's not that bad. It's just, you know. So we were trying to go back home, cross the road to take bus to head back home. And Kareem did one step before me. And as soon as he did that, he got hit by a car. And he was just like right beside me, and he did one step before me, and he got hit by a car. And I tried to help him. I tried to do everything I can do for him. He was my absolute best friend, and I tried to do everything I can do for him. I tried to call help, and they came, and I just did everything I can do for him. But I didn't help him, and he died. And for a long time, that was really hard on me. He was just 17 years old, and I was 17 years old. I've never seen anybody dying in front of me before. It was really tough, and for a while, I was just so mad at everything. I mean, I was so upset. I was so mad, and I was Muslim, and I completely had a strong faith in what I believed in. I'm sorry. But after his death, I was just so mad, so upset. I was so depressed for a while. And I was just trying to ask God, why did he die? He was just 17 years old. He's not supposed to die that young. But he died. And so because I was Muslim and I had a lot of friends who were not Muslims, as I said, I had a lot of friends in Egypt who were Coptic Christians. I tried to study their religion. I tried to study what they believe in. Because, however, I was so mad and so sad that my friend Kareem died. But I had strong faith that I will meet him one day. I will see him one day in heaven. But I felt so bad for all my friends who are not Muslims. Because if they died, and I'm not sure when they're going to die, I will not be able to see them again. So I tried to read their religion, what they believe in, to have a good argument to be able to convert them. So I'm not really good with PowerPoint, and I have a friend who actually helped me doing this PowerPoint. That's why it looks good. And the other one doesn't look as good. And my friend, he put the next slide for me. And I don't know why he has it here, but he does. I'll try to. So anyway, I grew up in Cairo, Egypt. And for those of you who doesn't know Cairo, Cairo is the capital of Egypt. There's 10 million people live in Cairo. And in the morning time, there's 15 million people come to Cairo to work. So Cairo is pretty crowded. It doesn't matter what time you're going to go down the street. There's people there. The lights never turn off. People always in the streets. Shops never close. It's just 24 hours. That's where I grew up. And when I came to U.S., staying in Temple Terrace, Florida, people go to sleep at 10 o'clock. It was just kind of like, aren't you guys supposed to stay awake? But it was so much different. So there's 65 million Muslims in Egypt, and that makes up 80% of the populations are Muslims, and all of them are Sunni Muslims. And this picture is a picture of the Mosque Hussein. It's one of the oldest mosques in Cairo. That's actually where, when President Obama came to Egypt, he went to visit the mosque, and that's where he goes. He went, and this mosque was built in 1154. It's one of the oldest mosques in Egypt. And it's not actually like huge. There's a lot of mosques bigger than this one, but that's how it looks from inside, and there's thousands of people there. It doesn't matter when you go there, there's always people in there. And I have been there many, many times. So as I mentioned today in the morning, my dad was working in Saudi Arabia, and we have been to Mecca. And I don't know if you guys heard about Mecca or not, but you can call it, I guess, the capital of the Muslim world. If you're a Muslim, you have to go to Mecca at some point in your life. And I've been to Mecca many, many times. Because we were living really close to Mecca, and every weekend we have nothing to do, so we're just gonna go hang out in Mecca. So I've been there a lot. But in Saudi Arabia, alcohol is illegal. You cannot buy alcohol anywhere. But you can buy cigarettes, you can buy tobacco. But not in Mecca. You're not allowed to smoke or buy tobacco in Mecca at all. At least not in public areas. And let me take a guess on that. How many people do you think in this picture? Any guesses? What do you guys think? 200,000. All right. Any more guesses? There's at least 3 million people in this picture. That's how many people it holds. Just people from everywhere. Every time I go there, just people from everywhere. And I've been there a few times. And to get inside Mecca, to go to the city of Mecca, you have to be Muslim. There's actually checkout points outside the city, and they check you out before you get in. Excuse me. And you have to be a Muslim to get inside the city. So I don't think I'll be able to go in there now. But so there's 55 million Muslims in Egypt, and there's about 20 million Coptic Christians in Egypt. And the Coptic Christians, I don't know if you guys heard about the Coptic Christian or not, but they're basically, when Jesus and his mom Mary escaped from Palestine and came to Egypt, people in Egypt were very religious, and they marked all the places that Jesus has been to. And they built church in all the places that he and his mom has been to, and they basically worship the places because it's a holy land, and they worship everywhere where Jesus was. And the Pope of Egypt, he's different than any Pope. I remember 1997, the Pope of Europe, whatever his name was, he came to Egypt, and the Pope of Egypt didn't go meet him because they were completely different. Egypt, the Egyptian church is by its own self, and it's the biggest church in the Middle East and Africa. And we have our own Pope that he's dominant over the people who believes in the Coptic Christianity. So because the Egyptian population is pretty much just Muslim and Christians, there's no really anybody else. I mean, there's maybe 0.5% people, atheists or Jewish or other people, but they're not very many people. So usually there's nothing really wrong happening between Muslims and Christians. I mean, when I was living in Egypt, almost all our neighbors were Christian, and we were completely fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong at all. And a lot of my friends were Muslims. They were playing soccer with me, school with me, university with me, and everything is extremely good, except when you convert from Islam to Christianity. And as I mentioned today, 5 years ago, 5 years before I became a Christian, there was a guy who was a Muslim, and he converted to Christianity, and his own dad killed him. And that was very hard on me when I decided I want to be a Christian, because I don't want to be in the same path that he was. I don't want to get killed by my dad. I don't want to lose my relationship with my family. But yet, I want to be a Christian, and it was a very, very hard decision for me to take. So, as I said, when my friend Karim died, I tried to read about all different kind of religion. I tried to read about everything so I can have a good argument to be able to convert non-Muslim people into Islam. I tried to read about everything, even the really weird ones. I remember one day I was reading about weird religions, and there was a religion in India. They have a really good-looking temple. It's really pretty from inside, but it's full of rats because you worship rats inside. So I tried to read all the books, all the religion, and basically all the religion tells you that God loves you, and you got to believe in Him, and He's going to save you one day. You don't really know how God loves you. You don't really know when God is going to save you, but you have to believe that He loves you, and He's going to save you one day. And that's all the books. That's all the religion. It tells you the same thing. Except in one book, it was really different. It actually tells you how God already had a plan for you to save you and when He's going to save you. The Bible, when I started reading the Bible, I did not understand anything at all. And I think that was my fault because I started reading in Revelation, and that was not a good place to start. But I didn't know. I was trying to read online. I just liked the word Revelation, so I started reading, but it did not make any sense to me at all. And so I remember what really got my attention in the Bible, that the idea of somebody came to earth and all his mission was just to die, to take all our sins away, the idea of salvation. I've never read anything like that before. I always believe that Christian people believe in three gods. That's the way I thought about Christians before being a Christian. That they're really weird people, they believe in three gods and stuff like that. But when I really read the story of, he came to earth and all his mission was just to die on the cross humbly, to take all our sins away so we can have eternal life with God, just blew my mind. And when I read that, love your enemy, I just didn't get that. I mean, how you're supposed to love your enemy? Your enemy is supposed to be the people who hates you or want to kill you. How you're supposed to love them? I was like, I've never seen any Christian love his enemy before. Really? That can't happen. But when I read the story of Jesus, when they were dragging him in the street, they were spitting on him. They were beating him up. And he was praying for them. How can he do that? I was like, that can't be a human being. I am pretty sure if any human being was just beaten up and about to go on the cross and die, he will not pray for the people who's beating him up. But he was yet praying for them. And just completely blew my mind. And I started reading more. But as I said, I didn't really understand a lot of what I was reading. excuse me. But one day when I was reading Acts 8, verse 30 and 31, and it pretty much tells you the story of Philip when he heard a guy reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he told him, how can I unless somebody explained it to me? And I was like, well, I will try to find somebody to help me because Revelation just way too hard on me. And I was so scared to go and ask my friends to help me because I didn't know how that's going to go. I didn't know if anybody will know that I'm trying to read the Bible. I mean, you can go to any place in Egypt and buy a Bible, but I was trying to read it online so nobody will have evidence against me that I was trying to study the Bible. But I was very afraid to go to my friends and ask them to help me to study the Bible. But I was 17 years old, and what would you do if you were 17 years old? You will use the internet. And so I did. And my favorite website on the internet is, yeah. I went on Facebook. I made a fake profile, and I went on Facebook, and there was a ton of Christian pages on Facebook. And I tried to go to each one of them and say, hey, I'm Muslim, and I would like to know more about Christianity. Can anybody help me? And for 6 months, nobody answered me at all. And it felt like, well, I did what I can do. If I can't really do anything anymore, and it felt like you're putting a message in a bottle and throwing in an ocean and just going to wait and see if somebody will find it one day and try to help you. And for 6 months, nobody answered me. And I was like, well, I can't really do anything anymore. I mean, I did what I can do. If God want to help me, He will find His way to help me. And after 6 months, somebody messaged me on Facebook, and he was like, yeah, I can help you. And I was just so freaked out because her name is Norma. She's from Athens, Georgia. And I did not even know there was a state in US called Georgia. I was like, where are you from? I tried to get her profile. I tried to see where she's from. I was just so free. I didn't know who was she. And for almost a year and a half, she, after I checked her profile and made sure she's safe and everything, for a year and a half, she and her husband Donnie tried to help me a lot on Skype, on Facebook, and they have done a lot to me, and I really appreciate what they have done to me. I did not know anything at all, and she and her husband really helped me a lot. So I have to give them credit. But one day, Norma messaged me on Facebook, and she was like, you know, there's some guy coming to Egypt, and we have been studying for a year and a half, and if you're really willing to really be a Christian or get to know Christianity, like, deeply, you have to go and meet him. And I was so freaked out. I was like, Norma, I mean, I like talking to you. You're fun. You're online. Nobody can see me talking to you. But I will be so afraid getting to meet somebody. I don't think I can do that. And she was like, okay. She didn't really answer back. One day, I was going to school at 6 in the morning. Somebody called me. And he was like, my name is Don, and Norma told me about you, and I'm in Cairo, Egypt, and I would like to meet you. And I was like, how did you get my phone number from? And I remembered I gave my phone number to Norma one day, and I regretted it. But so Norma gave him my phone number, and he told him to call me, and he called me at 6 in the morning. He was like, hey, I'm Cairo, Egypt, and I would like to meet you. Would you like to come and meet us? And I was like, sure. He's like, all right, we have a tour in the pyramids right now if you would like to come and join us. I was like, well, I have to go to school right now, and I have already been to the pyramids like 100 times, so it's not going to work now. He was like, all right, would you like to come meet me tonight at my hotel? And I was like, sure, I can do that. He wanted me to come to his hotel, but the problem is, I don't know if you guys heard about it or not, but he was staying in the Mina House Hotel. I don't know if you guys heard about the Mina House Hotel or not, but it's one of the oldest, fanciest, most expensive hotels in Egypt. And there was no way a teenager like me can get in. Because I know the cheapest room in this hotel is $5,000. There was no way I can get in. And I called him again. I was like, Don, that's how it looks from inside. I called him. I was like, Don, I cannot get inside. I'm going to wait you outside. You have to come and pick me up. I was like, all right. I waited him outside. And he came and picked me up. And the Mina House Hotel is right by the pyramids. You can actually see the pyramids from your window. That's why it's so expensive. I waited him outside, and he came and picked me up, and I had a ton of questions in my mind. I mean, it's not Facebook anymore. It's not Skype. It's an actual person in front of me. I can actually touch him. And for 3 hours, I just had a lot of questions in my mind. And all his answers really made sense to me. And after 3 hours, I asked him, I was like, well, I think I'm ready to get baptized. But he didn't answer me. And I was just so I was not encouraging Don. I mean, I'm asking you to baptize me and you're just not answering me back. But then I had to leave that night because I didn't tell my family I was going to meet him. So I had to leave. I left and went back home. And next day he texted me because he has my number now. So he texted me. And he was like, well, would you like to come and meet me tonight? I was like, sure, I can do that. He was like, all right, you can wait me outside at 8 o'clock and bring extra clothes with you. I was like, bring extra clothes with me? He was like, yeah, don't you want to get baptized? And as much as I was so happy and so excited about it, but I was so afraid. I didn't know what's going to happen. I was so worried about it. I went to meet him. I waited him outside. And he came and picked me up and went by the swimming pool, and I was getting ready to get baptized. And as I said, the place I get baptized in was I think it's the coolest place you can ever get baptized in. Look at that. Yeah, I get baptized in this swimming pool right by the pyramids. And we got in, and he asked me, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And I said yes. But I was so scared. You have no idea. I was really, really scared. And as I was getting ready to get the swimming pool with him, a security guard of the hotel, as I said today, it's not this guy, but similar one. came to me and he was like, do you have a lighter? And he didn't ask anybody else. He just came to me and I don't know why. He was like, do you have a lighter? And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't. He was like, well, what's your room number? Don't you have room in here? I was like, what? He was like, what's your room number? I was like, Don, what's my room number, Don? And I was just so terrified. So Don took him to the front desk and he told them I'm just his guest and we were going to swim for a while. But after that, I was just like, Don, no, I will never do that. No, there's somebody actually saw me standing with you by the swimming pool. I'm not going to do it. But that's when he told me the story of Moses in Exodus when he was getting out of Egypt. And he knew he was going to die. The Pharaoh was right behind him and the Red Sea was in front of him. And he can't escape. He can't really do anything. But he trusted in God and he had a strong faith in God and he prayed to God and told him, God, if you want to save me and save your people, help us because we're going to die. And because God is so powerful, God divided the Red Sea for him and saved him. And as a bonus, he killed the Pharaoh and his soldiers. And after Don told me the story, I was so encouraged. I was like, you know what? Let's go for it. I'm down. And that's where I get baptized. And after I get baptized, Don talked me to his room with his wife, and there was like almost 50 people. He was taking them a tour in all the holy places in Egypt and Israel. And I went to his room. There was a lot of people, and everybody giving me a hug, and everybody was like encouraging me. And I didn't know any of them at all. And I barely knew Don. And it was so weird to me. I've never experienced anything like that before. Everybody was singing, and I had no idea what they were singing. It was just all new to me. And everybody was praying and hugging me. And it was one of the most memorable experiences I ever had in my life. And 2 days later, Don Patton left Egypt and went to Israel to continue his tour, and then he flew back to U.S. But before he flies back, I remember that he came to me and he gave me a hug. He was like, hey, would you like to come and study in Florida College? But I was like, no. I mean, I'm in school in Egypt. I have a fiance. I'm playing soccer semi-pro. I'm getting paid because, like, I have my life set. I had my apartment. I had my car. My life is set. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to leave everything and just come to Florida College. I don't think I can do that. But then he left Egypt. And so after Don Patton left Egypt, 2 weeks later, some random guy contacted me on Facebook. His name is Bob Buchanan. I don't know if you guys know Bob or not. Bob, for those of you who doesn't know Bob, he's crazy about Hard Rock Cafe and Coca-Cola. He's just, like, crazy about them. So Bob contacted me on Facebook, and he was like, hey, I'm coming to Cairo, Egypt, and, you know, I've heard about you from Norman, and I would like to meet you. And I was like, well, I've met somebody before. I don't think it will be a big deal to meet you. So he wanted to meet me, and he was not staying in the same nice hotel, so it was easy for him to go meet him at his hotel. And he came to Egypt with some guy from Indiana. I can't really remember his name. Something Jones. Anyway, he came with him. And he came and they wanted to meet me. And I went to meet them at their hotel. And he wanted to baptize me. But I was like, man, you're too late. I already got baptized like 2 weeks ago. And it was terrifying. So when Bob was in Egypt, he actually got to introduce me to a congregation in Cairo. And he introduced me to this family. His name is David, and he used to work in the Egypt American Embassy in Cairo. And they told me that to go and worship with him every Sunday. I was not really willing to go worship in the congregation. I was afraid, but it was kind of safer to go worship in their house every Sunday. And he has a wonderful family. I used to go worship with them for like about 6 months. Every Sunday, I used to go and worship with them, and it was awesome. But then he had to leave Cairo and go to a different city. And before he leaves, he told me to go with him to the congregation in Cairo. And I was very scared, but, you know, I had to go with him. And that's when I went with him. And everybody sitting on this side was Egyptians, and everybody was sitting on that side was American. And we had a sermon in Arabic and in English. We had Lord's Supper. It was just perfect worship, you know. But after David left, and I went there next week by myself, it was just so different. I mean, we didn't have Lord's Supper, and it was just really different. And I called David, and I told him what happened. And he told me, well, I don't have to go there anymore, and I really didn't want to go there anymore. So I didn't go there again. But that's how the congregation looked from outside. It's really, really old building in downtown Cairo. Really old, and that's how it looks from inside. So after that, Bobby Cannon came again to Egypt. Bobby Cannon came, he came to Egypt like 3 times before I come here. So for the second time when he came to Egypt, I'm sorry, he wanted to go to Mount Sinai, where Moses was. And he asked me to go with him. And so I did. And that's me standing at the top of Mount Sinai. It was awesome. It was one of the greatest hikes I've ever did. But I don't think I'll do it again. We started getting up at like midnight. And we got up at the top at 5 in the morning. I was so tired. But it's so worth it. And I remember there was a lot of people up in the mountain. And I remember there was a group of probably Korean people. As soon as the sun got up, because we got up before the sun got up. So as soon as the sun got up and they started bowing down and worshiping to the sun. And that was really weird to me. And me and Bob, we found a paper on the top of Mount Sinai that says, Moses was here. So we went to Mount Sinai, and after that we had been back to Cairo. And Bob asked me he would like to go to the pyramids and ride a camel. Because of course if you're from Egypt, you have to have a camel. So I took him to the pyramids, and we rode camels. And the Sphinx and the pyramids, they're like about 25 minutes away from where I live, and the Nile is about 10 minutes away from where I live. I live almost in the middle of Cairo. And then Bobby Cannon asked me he would like to go and eat. It's the most authentic Egyptian meal he can ever find. So I took him to a really old family restaurant in downtown Cairo to eat kosher. And I don't know if you guys heard about kosher or not, but it's my favorite meal. I did not find it anywhere in the U.S. except in New York City. And I don't think I'm going to fly to New York City to eat it. So kosher is like, it's the most popular meal in Egypt. There's rice, lentils, pasta, garlic, tomato. There's a lot of stuff in it. But there was no meat in it. And Bob was like, you guys have a meal without meat in it? I was like, yeah. So we had kosher, and kosher is just like, as I said, it's so popular. It's one of the most popular meals in Egypt. It's almost as popular as the cheeseburger in U.S. So after Bobby Cannon left Egypt, and I couldn't go worship with David and his family anymore because they left Cairo, and I can't go worship in the congregation in Cairo anymore, I felt really, really guilty because I know I'm a Christian now, and I have to worship God. I have to obey Him. I have to do what He told me to do. But I didn't know anyone. The only Christian people that knew that I'm a Christian were in the U.S. 6,500 miles away from me, and I can't go there every Sunday to worship with them. And once again, I was like, I'm 19 years old, and I can use internet to do that. And so I did. Every Sunday, we try to get on Skype. For those of you who doesn't know Skype, it's video call. You can video call anybody from anywhere. And we tried to do that for a while. But it was really hard trying to get a time that fits all our schedules. Because I was in Cairo, Egypt. And Ashley Barr was from Birmingham, Alabama, which is 7 hours different than Cairo, Egypt. BJ Tsai from Salem, Oregon, which is 11 hours different than Egypt. And Don and Zinda from Arkansas, Donnie and Norma from Georgia, Sandy and Richard from Arkansas. So trying to find a time that fits all our schedules was very hard. And I used to worship every Sunday night at 11:30 p.m. Cairo time, which was noon in Oregon. But we did that for about 7 months. And, you know, I know it's not really scripture and it's not what God told you to do, but that was the only choice I can do. I mean, that was the only thing I could really do when I was in Egypt. And for a while, Don and Zinda tried to help me and encourage me to come to Florida College. And I was not very sure about it. I was like, I don't think I really can do that, guys. But I started doing all the paperwork. And doing all the paperwork, there was a revolution in Egypt. We had a president. He was in power for 30 years. And then he wanted his son to be the president after him. So basically, just young people went down the streets and forced him to step down. And that I was supposed to come to US that year, but because of the revolution and everything, that delayed my paperwork. And after that, all my paperwork was done. But I got my visa and I got my everything, but it was just still very hard to leave my Cairo University and travel 6,500 miles away to go to Florida College. And I didn't know anyone in Florida. I didn't know anyone in US at all. And it was very hard on me. And I was trying to think about it all the time. I was trying to pray about it. It was just a very hard decision to leave everything I already have, everything I owned in Egypt, just come to US. But because coming to US would have meant that I had to leave my fiance, my friends, my family, my country, and just go to a country with new people I've never met before. It was a very hard decision on me. But when you read Genesis 12, verse 1, and it tells you the story of Abraham, that God told him, go from your country, from your people, from your father's household, to a land I will show you. Basically, God told Abraham, just leave everything you own, leave everything you have, and go somewhere else that you don't know. You don't know anybody there, but you have to go there because I told you to go there. And because Abraham had a strong faith in God, because he trusted in God, he did obey God, and he did what God told him to do. And I remember Don actually, he's the one who actually showed me this scripture, and he was like, see, you just have to do what's right. Sometimes you don't have to do what you want to do, but you have to do what's right. And so it was so hard decision in me. And my dad was like, you know what, you can do whatever, it's your future. If you think it's going to be good for you, go for it. But my mom, you know, she just had two kids, me and my sister, and I was always her favorite child until my sister came. And my mom was just completely against me leaving Egypt and going anywhere. And I had an uncle who was a physics teacher in London for about 10 years. And it was very hard for my family, and my dad was working outside Egypt all his life, so my family have never been, you know, together for a while. So my mom was just completely against me leaving Egypt and go anywhere. But my dad helped me to convince her to let me come here. And after a while, I made it to Florida College. And I tell you what, my first 2 weeks in FC were just so hard. I mean, I didn't know anyone at all. Everybody knew me. Everybody comes to me and is like, oh, I know you. You're the guy from Egypt. I was like, yeah, hey, what's up? And the first question everybody asks me, so do you guys have a camels in Egypt? And I was like, well, they're really expensive. I don't have any, but. So do you guys live in a tent in Egypt? I was like, no, we don't. Actually live in houses. Like, really? I thought you guys live in... First 2 weeks in FC, that's it. All the questions I got to... people asked me, and they were miserable. I mean, oh, do you have a camel? I was like, guys, did you park your camel outside? I was like, guys, no, I didn't do that. But when I went to Florida College, I got to meet BJ Saib, the one from Salem, Oregon, and he was my roommate. And we're still best friends, and he's getting married actually in October, and I'm going to his wedding, and he graduated from FC this year. And he's going to be a preacher in Oregon. He's my favorite, my best friend right now. And when I went to Florida, I attended North Boulevard Church of Christ. I don't know if you know him, but his name is John Shirley, and he's our Bible class teacher. And he's the one who actually helped me to do this PowerPoint. And he's just a great man. He helped me so much to be who I am right now. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to Florida College, but when I went to Florida College, I joined Arte, and I'm proud of it. But I was, you know, I was in school in Egypt. I was studying business in Egypt for 3 years. So coming to Florida College was not really new experience because I've already been to college before. But my favorite thing in Florida College, I don't know if you guys have ever been there or not, but they have chapel every day in the morning. Because before you go to your classes, you go to chapel, you worship God, you sing, you praise the Lord, you pray to Him every day, every morning, before you start your day, before you go to your classes. Just being surrounded by that many of Christian people, I've never experienced that before. It was so different to me. But I just loved how every morning, before going to classes at all, just gotta gather together, praise the Lord, pray to Him, and start our day. Amazing experience in Florida College. But when I came to to FC, you know, as I said, I knew everybody. Everybody knew me. Everybody was like, "Yeah, you're the guy from Egypt," and all the teachers knew me. But I didn't know anyone. And my first couple of months were so hard on me because I'm a very social person. I love to be with people all the time. And I just didn't know anything. I didn't have a car. I didn't know how to go anywhere. I just was completely by myself. BGSI helped me a lot to get over there, but first 2 months was just like, I just don't know anything at all. It was very hard. And I was actually looking at flight tickets. I was like, I just can't stay here. I gotta go back to Egypt. I just can't do it here. But when you read Mark 10 verse 29 and verse 30, it tells you, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much." And it's just so true. When I came to U.S., I did not know anyone at all. And a lot of people were messaging me on Facebook and texting me. It was like, "We're praying for you. We hope you're doing good." And I didn't know anyone at all. But as I said today in the morning, the amount of love and care I got from people, I just didn't imagine it. When I was in Egypt, everybody was telling me, "Just wait until you come to U.S. You will see the Christian family and how great they are," but didn't really understand what the Christian family means until I came here, and so how amazing it is. When I was in Florida College, I made a lot of friends. You know, I'm the only guy from Egypt, so everybody would like to have an Egyptian friend. So I almost was friend with every, I knew everyone in Florida College. And you know, 5 years ago, if somebody would have told me that I would be in Jonesboro speaking about my conversion from Islam to Christianity, I would never believe that. 5 years ago, I was in Cairo, Egypt, and I've never even heard of Jonesboro before. And I had the desire. I wanted to know the truth. I started reading all different Christianity to have a good argument to convert others to Islam. But I ended up converting my own self into Christianity, and that's exactly what Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 tells you. It tells you if you have a pure heart, if you're really willing to find the truth, if you really want to know whose God is, if you really want to find the truth, it says, "Ask and will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. For the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And it's just so true. I mean, I was in Cairo, Egypt. A random lady from Athens, Georgia, contacted me on Facebook and told me she can help me. And a year and a half later, Don Patton came to Egypt and baptized me. It's a Hollywood movie right here. If somebody would ever told me that would happen to me, I would never believe them. Coming from Cairo, Egypt to preach in Jonesboro, just never really think about it before. But that's exactly what God tells you. Just try to have a pure heart. Just try to find the truth. Just to try to know what's right and what's wrong, and He will help you. Just ask and it will be given to you. And so I believe that everybody have a journey, everybody have a story. And so is Nicodemus in John 3, verse 1 and 3. It tells you, Nicodemus was a Jewish ruling counselor. He was a high-ranked guy, and everybody knew him. But he was a secret admirer of Jesus, and he wanted to go meet Him, and he actually did. Went to meet Jesus under the cover of darkness. And he risked everything he has just to find the truth. And he finally he was willing to give away everything he had. He's willing to give away all his possessions and everything he owned just to be a Christian, to be with Jesus. And just like Nicodemus, I believe that we all have a journey. We all have a path. And And we have to find our path if we haven't found it yet. And Nicodemus was a Jewish ruling counselor. He had all, he was very rich, he was very high ranked, but he has given away everything he had just to be a Christian. And just like him, we always need to find the truth. We always need to go forward and need to, with a pure heart, and find the truth. So 5 years ago, my name is Tari Mokhtar, and spiritually, God has taken me to places that I have never expected I will go. Coming to U.S., coming to Arkansas, Jonesboro, just never expected that before. But because I was trying to find the truth, I was trying to find what's wrong, and I was trying to find to get closer to God. With open, pure heart, God has helped me to do that. And if God can do that to somebody from Cairo, Egypt, that all his family were Muslims, and he was a Muslim, and I'm pretty sure God can do that for you as well. And so if you haven't started your journey yet, I will encourage you to obey the gospel. Just try to find just try to find the truth. Just try to get closer to God. And as he said in Matthew 7, just knock and the door will be open. Just seek and you will find. And if you're a Christian but you have fallen away, having some difficulties, we will be glad to help you as you come forward, as we stand and sing.